Okay, picture the thing that you've always wanted to learn. Maybe it's how to play chess or creative writing or gardening. Now picture learning that thing from the person who's literally the best at it in the world. That is what you get with Masterclass. Masterclass is such an easy way to help you learn more about something you're interested in. You can seriously find classes on everything from turning your passion into achievements with cultural icon Martha Stewart to principles of improv from Amy Poehler. Are you kidding me? Y'all, I did a cooking class with Gordon Ramsay. And it was so much fun. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best and become your best. Masterclass is the only streaming platform where you can learn and grow with over 200 plus of the world's best. For just $10 a month, an annual membership gets you unlimited access to every instructor. And you can access Masterclass on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even in audio mode. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Don't waste another minute to start your learning journey with Masterclass. Right now, our friends get an additional 15% off of any annual membership at masterclass.com/soundsfun. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/soundsfun. masterclass.com/soundsfun. Hi, friends. Welcome to another episode of That Sounds Fun. I'm your host, Annie F. Downs, and I'm so glad to be here with you today. Hey, our episode today is brought to you by one of my new favorite sponsors, Prep Dish. I can't wait to tell you more about them in just a bit. Our music in the background is from my good friend, Dave Barnes. His most recent album, Who Knew It Was So Hard to Be Myself, is just released, and I hope you have grabbed a copy of that. So a lot of my friends started reading 100 Days to Brave on January 1st, and if that is true and you have stuck with it, then you most likely have just finished on April 10th. You just finished in the middle of this week. So first of all, I want to say congratulations to you, but then I also just want to make sure you know that we have some little fun things for you. Some prizes. So if you go to anniefdowns.com/100days, that is the number 100 days, we have a little something for you. So I want to make sure you knew about that. Today on the show is really everyone's favorite person, not just one of mine, but everyone's favorite person, Bob Goff. He's an author. He's a speaker. He's just an all-around exciting, fun, wonderful dude. And I am so grateful to call him my friend. And I was dying to have him on the show. His new book releases this week. It's called Everybody Always. And I hope you will grab a copy if you haven't already. So here is my conversation with my good friend, your good friend, everybody's good friend, Bob Goff.
Today.
I mean, isn't that how kids work?
Yeah.
Today. So yeah. You said you were going to do something. You meant today, right?
Yeah, like in the next 10 minutes.
Is that what
like
we should, is that how we should be living?
Yeah, no doubt.
I think
yeah.
So.
A childlike faith.
Yeah. I think you are great at that as a friend of going like, yeah, I'll do that. And I'll really do that.
Yes. I have done, had some discussions with friends about how you organize your thoughts and mm-hmm. how do you, you know, what's your strategy? And I'm just not sure I have a big strategy other than to love people and to do it from a position of availability.
Yeah. Okay. We've got to dig into this because I had a conversation with my friend, John Christ. Do you know John?
Yeah.
He's wonderful. And we had a conversation a couple weeks ago talking about what would people do if we actually loved everyone that was in our lives?
Yeah. And loving people that are easy to love, that isn't where we grow because you're low-hanging fruit. I mean, you're easy to love. I've met anybody who doesn't. But how do you love the people that are actually difficult to love? Mm-hmm. If you want to know kind of a report card on your faith, it's how you love those people and how do you engage them, even if they're wrong-minded, even if they're flat wrong. And I'm a lawyer. I win arguments for a living.
Right.
But I'm not trying to be Jesus's lawyer. I think that's something that's changed in me.
Do you know what I think is really interesting? For our friends who are listening, we didn't get to talk very much before we started. A lot of times I get to like have like a 10-minute conversation, but I wanted to jump in with you. But recently I saw you talking to someone online that has really hurt me. And I thought, doesn't Bob know? Like, does it? And I thought, he actually does know, because you do know. And I was like, he actually does know. And this is actually what loving someone looks like.
Oh, bingo.
Yeah, because he knows exactly what, he knows everything I know. And he is choosing to love anyway.
Yeah, so what if we're the people that aren't like kind of known for our opinions, but instead remembered for our love. And then you can do this, and we can skip the whole eulogy part. We can just get right down to like kind of living it right now with not, again, the people that are the easiest ones to love, but sometimes the most difficult ones. And that takes swallowing your pride. There's a great verse, and I don't think you need a verse for everything you do in your life. But it's Paul talking to younger Timothy, and he's saying, like, you know, he just picks me because I'm just have messed up so much to put on display his immense patience. Mm. And so I just keep thinking about that. I'm trying to be more patient, and I'm not a guy who's patient. I make coffee nervous. I'm like, I'm so amped all the time, but not like rowdy amped, but just like go, 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 go.
Yeah.
And so what I'm trying to be is a little bit more patient, not only with other people, but I'm trying to be a little bit more patient with myself instead of beating myself up when I mess up to say, well, like that's just Tuesday. And I say, how could I do a little bit less of that? And I try to angle that direction. So I think if we could just be a little kinder to each other, but then kinder to ourselves, maybe not beating yourself up when you mess up, but just being.
So what about people that other Christians don't want us to love?
Well, you know, I think there's a whole bunch of people that could be kind of uncomfortable to be around. And what I'm doing is I'm actually trying to spend my time being around them. I'm not going to tell you my speaking schedule, but I've been scheduling things recently with people that are actually not my jam.
Yeah.
And that's actually been really good. Yeah. I thought there was this one seminary. It was their idea, not mine. They invited me. I'm like, oh, swore. I thought it was going to be an intervention. They'd be like, Bob, stop it. It was pretty buttoned down. I actually was going to walk in. I'd sort of like, and just say, like, I'm a Pisces.
Right, right.
just to blow totally their minds. Right, right, the right. Moon is in the seventh house. But I was talking to him about how people will size you up by the way that you love them. They're going to bait you to see, would you love them even if you said something that they found offensive or absurd?
Yeah.
If they're theology is very orthodox. It couldn't be more orthodox than mine because mine is to love everybody always. Like that's the idea. I'm just going to start with the people who creep me out.
You just say that to yourself. Love everybody always.
Everybody always.
Yeah. That's the title of the book, right?
Yeah, everybody if you always, can find like somebody who doesn't fit in that, you don't need to love them.
Right, but that's not going to happen.
So that's what I'm trying to work on. Like just say, just chill out a little bit. And it comes from this idea of that Jesus doesn't need a bunch of lawyers. He needs like kind people. And I think it was like borne out over and over again in the scriptures where Jesus was immensely patient with 12 guys. Like one of his own Sunday school class kids goes rogue on him.
Mm-hmm.
The other ones don't even know who he is. And he spent 3 years with them. And he didn't call them a bunch of losers. He called them a bunch of leaders.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't get the nets on the right side of the boat. Yeah. But they said, I'm going to let you people represent me and tell people about my character. And so that would be a God who's tremendously patient with people. He calls Peter a rock when he was a wuss.
Right.
And then Peter became rock.
Yeah.
You know, so I just wanted to do that. And I'm not talking about blowing sunshine at people and just saying a bunch of fake stuff.
Right.
But just to call out who you see them turning into.
Yeah.
Instead of who they were, because that one's easy.
Yeah.
Like, say, who are you becoming?
Yeah.
So I try to do that. There's even some people that have been tremendously difficult for me to deal with because they're very angsty and sometimes one or two come to mind. They're just really vulgar and off-putting. And there was one guy who he was like kind of fit that category. And I rolled my eyes every time he would say something. I'm like, dude, like, really? And he ended up all over CNN. I knew a guy who knew his telephone number.
Yeah.
So I called him up.
I
said, hey, it's Bob Goff here. And I just wanted to let you know that I'd heard what happened. And I just felt really bad. He's like, Bob who? I'm like, I know. I get that all the time. And I said, I just wanted you to know it felt like really bad. And I, in this unexpected moment of vulnerability, said, you know what you don't realize? I've gotten 6 death threats this week. My mother-in-law lives with us, my family, and I've got to move. And I said, can I help you move?
Yeah.
And so I flew across country.
No way.
I got to his house. I picked up, get this, Annie, I pick up a box of dishes. I'm ready to take him to the moving truck. The bottom falls out. I break every single dish.
Oh my gosh.
I've only known this guy for a minute.
Right.
And there's this awkward moment. I'm standing with an empty box and he looks at me and he says, rookie move. I'm like, I love this guy.
Oh my gosh.
And so there's something about like me just getting over. I don't know if he's got his stuff to work out, but I was there to work out my stuff.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to fix it. Actually, sometimes people in our faith communities are a little bit hard to deal with. And you know what I've been doing? I've just been mailing them cake pops.
Yes, you have. I keep seeing people getting them. It's so funny.
Like, it's been super good. Just like for $1.29, a couple stamps, just to engage people. And not because they're wrong-minded, but just to think well of each other, to speak well of each other at the gates. I think we ought to be talking behind each other's backs constantly. Just talk about the right stuff.
Yeah.
To say, have you seen who that person's turning into? Mm-hmm. Have you seen how they're grown? To speak well of them instead of all the rest of the stuff.
Yeah. I was reading a devotional in Lent, and one of the things it talked about, one of the whole days, was about how Jesus was never self-protective emotionally. He knew Judas was going to turn on him. He knew what Peter was going to do, and he never protected himself from a relationship. He went all in with the guys knowing that their love was temporary.
Yeah, can you imagine? You get one last meal on earth, and you share it with a guy who's going to betray you.
Right.
And so that gives me a little bit of hope that perhaps I could be a little bit more immensely patient with people, knowing that some people that think differently about things, I don't know, you pick the issue, whatever the big social issue of the day is. I'm not trying to figure out whether I'm ahead of them or behind them on the trail. I just recognize we're both on this trail, and I'm constantly reminded that we're meeting people at the starting line, not the finish line. And so when you meet people and they're thinking different things than you, I don't know who's ahead or who's behind, and I don't care because I'm not a ref.
Right.
I'm just saying, like, you know, for what I'm doing is this. So you'll see, like, me tweet stuff. Like, I'll send out a tweet in the morning. What I'll be doing, I haven't had a quiet time in 20 years. Mine are super loud.
Yeah.
And I'll take everything I've, like, read, and I'll say, what's the easiest way to say that with the fewest words and no Bible verse? Like, that's why love doesn't have anything. And Bible verses, everybody always does it. You want a Bible verse? Read the Bible. It's full of them.
Right.
So I'll just say, what's the simplest way to say that? Because I'm not trying to get John Piper to become a Christian.
Thank you.
I want the guy at the tire store.
Yeah.
I want the guy.
Yeah.
Somebody asked me if I was watering down my faith. And I said, man, I hope so.
Yeah.
Because I just want to make it for people who are thirsty.
Right.
And instead of like waterboarding everybody, like that's what they were doing in Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah,
they're like,
that's
you're
right.
thirsty. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. Like, instead, just say things that are true and know why you're saying what you're saying. But you don't need to start doing page and verse.
Right.
I'm not going to get a tweed jacket and elbow patches and start teaching people. Mm-hmm. What I want to do is learn through the times it didn't work, the stories of the times. That's Matthew 13. Jesus never talked to anybody without telling him a story. Can you imagine just having one of those awkward dinners where all the guys are on the same side of the table and you ask Jesus to pass the salt? And he's like, you know the thing about salt? He'd be like, no, Peter, help a brother out. Thomas is like, I doubt it. Yeah. So, but that idea of just to just say true things in almost like a modern version, the corollary of that movie, Liar, Liar. Just say like truth, truth.
Yeah.
And if you don't know whether it's true or not, shut up.
Yeah.
Like, just don't say anything.
Yes.
Just but go run back and figure out what it is. And people have asked me what are vexing questions about some things I don't know about. And I go, like, I don't know, man. But I know this guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We could check some stuff out, but I'm not feeling like I'm trying to be Jesus' lawyer, because most people who aren't very good at it.
Right. They aren't the ones who make people want to run toward this.
Yeah.
But I'm not always the one who makes people want to run toward this, so I'm not doing another thing, but I'm like, I do that too.
I get it. Maybe just immense patience with myself, and that hopefully will be translated into immense patience with other people. I know sweet Maria Goff is just tremendously patient with me. We had just this beautiful couple days here in Nashville, and one of the things that I got out was this map of all these strings of all the places that I'd been, and it was so beautiful to just decide that I'm not going to do that on weekends anymore.
Yeah.
And so there are quite a few things that are already planned out, and I don't want to like renege on something, but we're just not doing any more of those. We schedule things 9 months in a day in the future.
That's it.
And the reason we do it is because I want to be a grandpa someday.
That's
my big ambition.
Yeah.
Like, I'm one sonogram away.
Yeah,
I haven't seen
right,
it, but I'm like, come on. And so, like, the whole idea of if you know what it is that you want, then that will inform what you're doing right now. Mm-hmm. So think of Annie plus 10. Mm-hmm. So Bob, I'm 59. Think of Bob plus him, 69-year-old Bob. I hope I have a bunch of 9-year-olds around me, grandkids. So if you figure out who you're becoming and then let that inform who you are right now. But don't forget the 8-year-old version, kind of where we started in the conversation, that playful. There's a young kid in here in the booth before we started. I'd go like, take a little 8-year-old Annie, take you, and then take you 10 years from now. Now we got a game. Yeah. The three of those sisters, they could make any decision really
well.
Man,
you know, I've really gotten to know that young version of me thanks to Onsite.
Beautiful,
right?
Yeah.
When that, I mean, did that tap in for you when you were there?
I actually went under protest.
That's right.
Yeah, remember?
I remember. Yeah, that's right.
It was just because a couple of friends, they had, they were like, dude, you've got issues.
Yeah.
Your issues have issues.
Right.
And so I went. I'm like, let the healing begin. And it was really a beautiful, difficult time there because that whole idea of role playing that's, do they call it therapeutic?
Experiential therapy.
Yeah. So they do that. Well, so you would be like my estranged sister,
and then this
one's my dad, my mom, and all that. And well, because I have white hair and whiskers, everybody made me God.
Oh, right.
And they just cussed at me.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh. And you know what? If as many things had happened to me as happened to them, I'd have a couple words too.
That's right.
And so by the fourth or fifth day, man, I was just done being God. And sweet Maria wrote me a letter. It was one of those Dear Bob letters from camp. She said, honey, thanks for taking one for the team. And the second page of the letter was a map.
Mm-hmm.
It was this treasure map, and she buried something 2 years before when she went. And so I spent all the rest of my time at Onsite burying stuff for my friends.
Yeah.
I did. So
I
like,
did not know that part. I know that I remembered you had told me in the airport that when we talked that day that about the treasure hunt, about her sending you on the treasure hunt.
Yeah, and so even for your friends that are listening, just geocache a little grace for your friends. Take a husband that you haven't even met yet, a wife, some people that you care about deeply, and just bury something. You got all these hickory trees around here. Just say, it's over by the hickory tree.
Yeah.
And there's something beautiful about that. I'll tell you what's staple to my will. A bunch of latitude and longitude.
Yeah.
Because sweet Maria goes places, I go places. We're starting schools in a bunch of different countries. And so we'll just geocache stuff while I'm there.
What made you decide the weekends weren't working for you anymore? Because I'm noticing that. I'm noticing after you do a certain amount of things, you go, okay, this particular setup doesn't work for me. So for me, like doing a Thursday in one city and a Friday in another, I'm realizing it doesn't feel healthy to me. So what made you start going like, okay, this doesn't work for us anymore, but this will work. All these things will work, but this won't.
Yeah, there was a great, you know how sometimes you can catch up on your friends and your family and all that by watching these Insta stories?
Yeah.
Well, I saw this great Insta story. It was Adam Goff, and he was flying a biplane. But here's the deal. He doesn't know how to fly a biplane.
Uh-huh. But you watched him doing it. You're like, that is my kid.
He's like actually flying this biplane and it like stick and rudder.
Yeah.
It's awesome. And so I just don't want to miss out on many rides. And so I've started going with him and he's an awesome pilot.
Yeah.
And I just want to like not miss those.
Yeah.
And so everything all great. It's like kind of drowning in chocolate. It's just in a wonderful way. And because I know who I'm going to become, which is a grandpa, just a kind of stay at home grandpa with my grandkids. I want to be with tons and tons of people now, but I think like you and I can continue to give a quarter of a twist to what we're doing. That's what the people that make the best wines do. You see them down the dusty bottles.
Turnips.
And they quarter twist.
Yeah.
And you know why? It's like the sediment from the wine sticks to the glass.
Yeah.
I met this young guy. He said, Bob, like you've just made such an impact on me. And I was like puffed up with undeserved pride. And he said, you know, I've given it a 360 degree turn. I'm like, you're actually right back where you started.
So I'm taking you right where you started.
You need to twist it back the other way a couple times. But I think if we could just take many of the things we've done, and the beauty about being around the sun a couple times is that you've done a couple things.
Yeah.
And so many of those, you just need a quarter of a twist to ask, how's it working for the people around you?
So talk to me a little bit. An interesting spot for me and for you is that believing you're going to be a grandpa is not promised, nor is me being a wife and hopefully a mom, right? But I want to plan for that and make space for that. So what does that look like to plan for things that you aren't promised?
Oh, isn't that interesting? I think it's that idea of they almost like the definition of faith.
Yeah.
You know, it's like hoping for things that are unseen.
Mm-hmm.
That you don't need to be a pest with everybody to like ask my kids. I'll talk to you about it, but I don't talk to my kids about it. I just want them to do whatever they want, whenever they want. But I'm just like kind of, I've got this great sense of living in expectation.
Yeah.
Just wild.
Is that because we're sevens?
Constantly. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
This is like sevens reunion.
Because I can spin everything into like, but actually that was exactly what I wanted to happen. I mean, I'm great. I'm an expector as well.
And so living in tremendous expectation can also lead to some disappointments because you just have so many hopes and expectations. Mm-hmm. They're all like beautiful, but not getting ahead of Jesus and not getting too far behind him, but just this kind of following close. So what I do is I'll just take think of a chessboard, okay?
I'm just learning chess, by the way, and
I'm
loving it.
Well, it's like kind of a cross between chess and Red Rover, because I want you to remove all the other person's pieces because you have no opponent. So there's 16 pieces on your side. Think of those as 16 ambitions or ideas or things that you want to do.
Yeah.
And every day you got to move, you just get to move one piece, one square forward.
Mm.
So one piece a day. But Annie, you have to take off one piece per day as well. So moving one forward, and the goal is to get one of your ideas, one of your ambitions, like, you know, across to the other side. And so you'd say, I can move one piece forward. I'm down with that. But it's removing one of my big ambitions from the table. I'm not saying chuck it. I'm just saying, could we just take that off the board for right now? And so, and then you can move your second different idea one square forward, but you only moved a couple things one square forward. You're not going to get many to the other side.
Right.
And for some people, that's just fine. For me, I want to get one idea across where the opportunities lend themselves.
Yeah.
So if I can move that one piece forward and there's an opportunity to advance that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just such a visual person, as many of us sevens are. Mm-hmm. Like, I just want to get the piece to the other side. And so there's no guilt in that. There's no shame in that. I'm just easy to move them forward, hard to take them off the board.
Right.
And to say, that's a beautiful ambition that I'm actually not gonna do.
Yeah.
I want to learn how to fly a hot air balloon.
Okay.
So I'd be like, I don't know. But you know what? That one's just gonna have to wait. Because I've got another ambition that I want to get over the road.
Yeah.
That would be tremendous fun unless there was a, you know, electric wire nearby. But if I could move like just a couple of these, and the filter I use is it going to work or is it going to last?
Yeah.
Because I spend my whole time trying to do things that worked, and the quarter of a twist on that is, will it last?
Yeah.
I got back from Canada and I wrote three emails. One to a guy that deep shipwreck dives. He's a deep water diver.
Yeah.
You go so deep, you don't even breathe oxygen. It's nitrox.
Oh, wow.
The second one, I wrote to a guy who hang glides, like paraglides with those parachutes out. And the third one's a guy that flies helicopters. And I said, whoever responds first and says that they'll teach me what they do, I'm in. And the helicopter guy wrote back and said, 9 a.m. tomorrow. So I'm like, I'm in. Now, I don't want to be a traffic reporter. I want to continue to learn. I want to continue to be engaged. I want to live in great expectation.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, hover over the numbers.
Yeah.
And so we're over the numbers very briefly because I didn't play video games.
Yeah,
we started drifting to the left. So I went way to the right with a stick. Oh my gosh, we weren't even in the same zip code anymore.
Really?
Then I went way back to the left. The guy screamed. He's like, stop it, stop it. And he said, Bob, I want you to grab a hold of this stick and move it 100 times a minute, but all the diameter of a quarter. And I'm like, that'll preach.
Right.
So 100 small movements.
Yeah.
So I think you have a big expectation. It's one of your things. If a relationship, a job, a career, whatever it is that's high on your list, I would say 100 small movements.
Mm-hmm.
And towards.
Right, towards.
Yeah. So just 100. And then if I hit some kind of barrier blockade, I just start moving another chess piece.
Yeah.
To say, is there an opportunity to move those forward? And so we're starting a girls' school in a country that doesn't have girls' schools yet.
Oh, wow.
Like, we're already getting some pretty interesting mail back.
Yeah.
So, but like that whole idea of fail trying.
Right.
And if we weren't afraid that we'd fail, then we'd actually try some more stuff. We'd actually move that piece forward instead of like being afraid, well, what would happen? Well, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Move the dice, like roll the dice, move the mice, nobody gets hurt. Just move that piece one square forward.
Hey, I'm interrupting Bob for just a second, as promised, to tell you about one of my new favorite sponsors, Prep Dish. Prep Dish is such an easy way to save time in the kitchen, to be efficient, to eat healthy, whether it's gluten-free, dairy-free, paleo, or however you like to eat. They provide it for you stress-free. It's so great. And listen, for my friends who are listening, there's a 2-week free trial for our listeners alone. So just go to prepdish.com/Annie. So easy, you guys. This is like a no-brainer. It is literally 2 weeks for free. I'm trying it too, and I am really enjoying it. And for those of you who are moms, this is such a great solution for what goes on in your kitchen, because you can prep it all and then it is ready to go as the week goes on. And then for those of us who are feeding less than 4 people, 2 people or 1 person, it's a great way to have healthy options in the kitchen, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I am absolutely loving it. I think it is so fun. They do all the planning for you. You don't even have to think about your meals. If you have a crazy schedule like I do, even though y'all know I'm trying to slow down and savor my life, this is such a time saver. Allison is the founder of Prep Dish, and we have emailed a ton, and I think the world of her. And again, she's the one who said, okay, let's do 2-week trial run for your people. So make sure you go to prepdish.com/Annie for this amazing deal. So when you sign up, you'll receive an email every week with a grocery list and instructions for prepping your meals ahead of time. And after only 1 to 3 hours of prepping on the weekend, you'll have all your meals ready for the entire week. So you'll save time and have some delicious meals like a smoky paprika chicken legs with a trio of roasted vegetables, or this amazing turkey and zucchini lasagna. Y'all have got to try it. So again, that's prepdish.com/Annie to get your first 2 weeks for free. Make sure you do that. And now let's head back to Bob. In January, we sat down, a couple people on my team, and we made a list of all of our yeses and nos for this year. And I kind of did the chess thing where I went, we're going to say yes to 4 things. Let's just try it this year. Instead of saying yes to all the things, let's say yes to 4 things. And what I've found is I'm still incredibly busy, but it is all really life-giving. And it's just different. It's just different than being busy with everything that everyone else also wants me to do.
Yeah, sometimes that activity feels like it's purposeful, but it's actually just activity. And right. So what a great thing to do. But I don't want to vet the people around me, because Jesus didn't have any applications right. for people to fill out to follow right. him. He didn't vet the guy in the cross next to him yep. when he said, you're in.
Right.
So I think a lot of times when we spend time like vetting people to say, it gives off this feel that like there's like the cool kids table, and I don't want to do that. So to counter that, I'll just continue to put my cell phone number in the back of books.
Did you do it on the new one too?
I did.
Bob, you're the bravest man I know. I can't believe you did it again.
Yeah. It's been super fun. But that idea of like living a life following Jesus means a life of constant interruptions.
Yes.
Now, that would not work for some people.
Yeah.
But for people that want to be interrupted a lot, I think it's actually a beautiful thing. Because I'm always thinking, because I'm living in constant expectation,
yeah.
I wonder if it'll move the needle in their life.
Yeah.
And a second question I wonder if it'll move the needle in my life.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
being available always moves the needle in my life.
Yeah. But I mean, when Love Does came out, I mean, you were getting calls all day long. Do you still get calls all day long?
Oh, we're not through today. I've gotten 40 already today. This is 5.5 years later. It just continues wonderfully so.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
And on Wednesday night, when it's like junior high kids, like Bible study night, they'll call them to hang up. I'm like, I know how you feel.
And I'm telling you, there are other numbers. Sevens can do, like, I'm with you that sevens can go like, yeah, call me.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. Like, that's fun. Yeah. But also, I think it's a real unique gift in you that you do make, whether it's a president or an Annie, you make all of us feel like you listen.
Well, like you can't be, and it's never happened that I'm the smartest guy in the room, including right now
no.
in this room.
Yes, you are.
But I could endeavor to be the most available guy in the room. And so that would be my goal.
Okay, was 35-year-old Bob that way?
You know, surprisingly, he was.
Okay.
35-year-old Bob was trying $100 million cases.
Okay, right.
But so I was like busy doing some other stuff.
Yeah.
But 41-year-old Bob said, you know what? I'm going to start landing this plane. Instead of practicing law, I'm going to do justice. And it's just a quarter of a twist.
Right.
And I think for whoever's listening and whatever it is they're doing, most of us are a job or two behind who we've turned into.
Why 41? What happened at 41?
I don't know. It wasn't like some big, I didn't, have a heart attack. I just decided I'm just going to actually start making stuff that will last,
yeah.
not all the stuff that'll work.
Yeah.
And so I continued both. I had a law firm. My name was on the door and in Seattle and San Diego. And then I spent all my time more and more overseas.
Yeah.
Here was the deal. I walked into my own law firm in downtown Seattle after like not having walked into the office for months and months. The receptionist asked me, "Who are you here to see?" Like, you know, the name of that, that would be me.
Right. I'm that guy. I'm the one.
So I walked in and I quit.
Yeah.
My own law firm was beautiful. Yeah. It was like 2.5 years ago, May. I've been like clean and sober on being a lawyer. And so we still practice law overseas, but we just try cases against witch doctors and people who are bad guys. Yet, to the end of like engaging people to creep you out, I'm not trying to be like the guy who's right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to be Jesus.
Yeah.
And that would be a quarter of a twist. And so these very witch doctors that we started trying cases against, them started meeting with them, and we started a witch doctor school.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, there's 250 witch doctors right now sitting in chairs in witch doctor school. And we're teaching them how to read and write.
Yeah.
And the only books they have are the Bible and Love Does.
Well done. Oh, well done.
You're reading their textbook.
Yeah.
But they, you know, when it came for the cover for Everybody Always, you know, we got rid of all the covers, the examples
really?
They sent me.
Yeah.
I went to Uganda. I got our witch doctors to use their fingerprints.
Is
those,
that what it is?
Those are not balloons.
That's amazing.
I tried to explain to them. I'm going to talk to people where faith in Jesus is really important to them.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk to them about engaging people that creep them out
the
most. And you guys really creep me out. But here's the deal. I know their names.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a ropes course. The course is probably 100 feet up in the air. I'll take these witch doctors up there in like harnesses and I'll unclip them.
Yeah.
I'll give them a push on the shoulder.
No.
They'll be like, "Stop pushing me." I'm like, "Stop scaring people."
Yeah, right.
This is how everybody feels around you.
Yeah, that's it.
And I think sometimes even in our faith communities, there's some people that mean well, but they're actually terrifying people. They're pointing different kind of bony fingers at each other.
Yeah.
And I just want to be, I don't need to call them out. I just want to say I think there's another way there to engage them as well.
Mm-hmm.
They're just a different version of somebody that's kind of off-putting. They don't intend to be. They're just trying to kind of still help baby Jesus out. And he's like out of the crib. Read Revelations.
Right.
So instead of making them feel small, what if we make them feel engaged? What if we make them feel like we're friends? Like really, really friends. Not just say you're friends and then say something mean about them, but just engage them.
Something you don't talk about very much is the cost that you pay for this stuff emotionally and physically. One of the things I watch a lot, and I might get teary telling you this, I mean, your house burned down, you have medical, your eye and other medical stuff going on. You are, I mean, like, you're writing some checks that people don't know, right? That there's this emotional and I would say spiritual cost to the trailblazing and pioneering you're doing. That I don't think people know. Do you feel that? Do you, I mean, when things go sideways for you, do you say to yourself, like, well, this is probably the enemy? Like, do you ever like push into that?
No, I honestly don't spend a lot of time thinking about that.
Yeah.
I mean, one could probably draw a correlation between hanging out with many, many witch doctors and having things go wrong. But
I don't think they're doing stuff to you. I think you're pioneering something that's causing a stir.
I think they're actually, I'm learning so much from these people who've creeped me out. But so things, to your point, like things have gone a little awry. We had one thing that we worked on for, like it was 22 years that we spent building this lodge.
Yeah.
And then somebody made a big mistake, took some oily rags, and they spontaneously combusted and it burned it to the ground. There's not even ashes there. But we've started again.
Yeah.
And so that idea of sad but not stuck.
That's right.
That we each take a hit, but I'm not trying to over-identify with these hits. I took Richard Goff rafting with me on the Nile River, and there are these class 5 rapids.
Mm-hmm.
There's no such thing as class 6. You're just dead.
Yeah.
So we go over this like cliff with water on it.
Yeah.
And Richard pops off.
Yeah.
We get stuck in an eddy at the bottom of the cliff. We lost him for an hour.
Bob.
We found him. I'm trying to make up, like, I didn't think he was with us. I'm trying to make these excuses like we could make another boy.
Right.
But but we find him hanging from a mangrove vine in these like alligator infested waters.
Oh,
well, I think what happens sometimes is when something goes terribly awry, a relationship, a loss, something burns down in your life, that we could just kind of over-identify with that and get stuck in an eddy of just
so good.
reflecting on that. When I think God wants us to paddle back in the fast-moving waters.
Mm-hmm.
I think that idea of just, you want to go find that eight-year-old version of yourself. He or she is probably hanging from a vine downstream.
Yeah.
And you got to get back in the river.
She didn't know to get stuck.
I know.
She knew to keep going, yeah.
Yeah, so one of the things I want to do is just keep paddling fast. Yet, I don't want the people around me to be exhausted by my lifestyle. So a thing that you and I have talked about before, that the question is, how's it working for you? It's how is your life working for the people around you? So Sweet Marie and I check in, and she's been candid enough to say, actually, you know, it'd be terrific to have you around on the weekend. So I'm like, that's all I need to hear. I'm like, yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
So, and I think we can do lots of things.
Yeah.
But as sevens, figure out your wiring harness.
Yeah.
The problem happens when I'm trying to be like you or you're trying to be like me instead of us trying to be like Jesus.
Yeah.
So say, like, what's the Annie version with all of your joy and spunk and sass and all that? And then the Bob version with all of my insecurity and energy and availability and all that, to say, why are you doing what you're doing?
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing. I don't know if you know this, but anytime most people see me, I'll be wearing a Boston Red Sox hat.
Yeah.
And I've never gone to a Red Sox game.
Really?
I don't even like baseball.
Yeah, I have always noticed you in that hat. Yeah,
I wear the hat because my neighbor across the street, Carol, was a big Red Sox fan.
Yeah.
And she got cancer. She was going to be with Jesus by the end of the week. And so we made a deal. I told her, I will wear your Red Sox hat for the rest of my life and represent the Sox here on earth. And every time Jesus walks by you, you need to mention my name.
You know, remind him.
You know that verse in Matthew, I knew you not. I'm like, Carol! So if you know why you're doing what you're doing, that would be a great starting point. Am I doing this for a bunch of applause? Because if you're doing it for the applause, join the circus.
Yeah.
But if I'm doing it for validation, for some things I actually don't actually believe yet, but I think if I shout it loud enough, I might start believing it, I would like check that one out. If you're doing it because you realize you only have a small increment of time to give away before you go do something that is more important just for you, which is to be available to your grandkids, then I would say, well, then that would be a really good thing to do a lot of.
Yeah.
And don't be too hard on yourself when you make a mistake.
Yeah. One of the things I'm wrestling down in my life is, do I actually trust God? Like, do I actually trust him? I say I do, but does anything I do reflect that inside? You know, like, publicly people would, oh, I'm sure she does, blah, blah, blah. But like, why do I try to control everything? And so I am learning to get out of the eddy, right? And just like, what if we floated? And what if there are alligators?
Yeah. One other thing that would be kind of an interesting exercise would be to take a piece of paper, draw a line in the middle, and to say, what am I absolutely certain about? And what am I just guessing about? Don't give a bunch of Sunday school answers. Just say, like, what am I absolutely certain about? What am I just guessing about? When we have a lot of stress in our life, I think it's because something jumped from one column to the other. Either something you were certain about the love of a father, and then there's your mother and father break up, and it actually jumped the tracks. I'm just guessing about that now.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you carry, that's where a lot of the wounds and scars, it's something that jumped columns.
Over. Yeah.
Similarly, you might have something you were just guessing about, like what it would be like to fill in the blank. And then you jump the tracks, and you go like, I'm positive about that.
Yeah.
I've experienced tremendous love. I've experienced forgiveness. I've experienced, it's a big event because you just went from my guessing about it. The problem happens when people are talking like they're certain about everything.
Right.
Because I am not like a lot of Thomas, but I'm not there where I'm certain about everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I've tried to just figure out whether it's I'm guessing about it. And I think God delights when we get real about that.
Yeah.
Say, man, I want to be certain about that.
Yeah.
I
want that to jump the tracks.
Totally. But living in expectation. My expectation is that someday I'm going to get there where I can move that from I'm just guessing about it to I'm certain about it.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, sometimes it's engaging people who are on there just guessing about that.
Yeah.
It's just like, instead of avoiding them, engage them.
So what do you call it? Because I'm thinking to myself, I'm doing that tomorrow morning in my time, like my reading time. What do you call your quiet time if it's loud?
It's just loud.
I know. It's the worst term in the world, isn't it? It's like, I can't say that. I was hoping you had a better name.
And you know
it.
What I'll do? I don't know if we've talked about this before, but I'm a pretty hard guy not to get along with. But
agreed.
Every once in a while, somebody will say something kind of angsty. They're usually like a second year seminary student. And what I'll do is I'll go into their feed and I'll read, like, what is it that they're thinking about?
Yeah.
And not to like validate that they're like,
but just mean, to learn them.
I'm
yeah.
But just I've learned all kinds of new words, like like Christian words. Mm-hmm. But I look them up and to see what do those mean. No, they're big, long words.
Yeah.
And so once I've learned one thing, then I block them. It's like a going away party.
Yeah.
I'm like, see ya.
That's what Cameron Strang just told me the other day. Bob Goff says you can block them.
Yeah, there's something really beautiful. So you could be picky about like who you listen to, who you give the microphone to in your life. You could be picky about who you travel with. I would never travel with Tom Hanks anywhere. Like Apollo 13.
Why?
Well, the thing blew up. Castaway. He ended
not
up on the island.
Right.
Right? Captain Phillips. That didn't work out. Sully. He ended up in the river.
You're
and
right.
The plane sunk. So figure out who you're traveling with.
Yeah.
Figure out who have you given the microphone to. Figure out what you're certain about, what you're just guessing about. And that would be somebody that is in the position to start demonstrating immense patience.
Yeah. Okay, last question because we've used up your time. Thank you for being here.
Oh,
I can't wait
a million.
For us all to read the new book. The Love Does is such a powerful one. I can't wait for everybody always. Okay, so our last question, you're going to love this as a seven, is because the podcast is called That Sounds Fun. So the question is, what sounds fun to you?
Oh, really everything except getting bit in the face by a venom-spitting koala bear.
Okay.
Like,
I don't
have a bucket list. You could put the three things I don't want to do.
Right,
like,
and
in
anything
bucket.
Else. We
and
can
I'm
make
actually
fun.
On the bubble on the koala bear thing.
Yeah.
So, but if you find, like, living in anticipation, figure out what it is that would light you up, and then is it possible to include somebody else?
Yeah.
So I go to Disneyland a lot. It reminds me of this imaginative guy. It's like I remember that 8-year-old kid again.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I'll do, what I did last Wednesday, I just invited somebody who wanted to spend some time with me. I said, you got to Uber back, but like, why don't you just drive up there with me?
Yeah.
And so there was a great hour and a half. I get to use the Diamond Lane. It was awesome.
Yeah.
So part of this idea of like what sounds fun would be to do it together, to have a shared experience with somebody and have some conversations that matter.
Yeah.
Do you know this, Annie? If you can look this up on Wikipedia, it must be true. A handful of sand has 400,000 grains of sand.
Oh,
I've never been bored enough to count.
But
a little bit more or less, depending on the size of your hands. But if you live about 92 years and meet 15 people a day, that's what 400,000 looks like.
Oh, wow.
And so what if you set out to have 15 meaningful conversations, particularly if you're amped and you're a seven, say to slow it down and to actually have 15 conversations, not like, hi, how are you? What do you do for a living? But did you say, what brings you joy to have these kinds of conversations?
Mm-hmm.
I would say this would be, I don't know, just because it's been a busy day, the 20th or 30th conversation like this. But wouldn't that be great to just say, I would say maybe some of your listeners say, it's been so long since I've actually engaged with somebody.
Yeah.
And so to just start and to say, if you know why you're doing what you're doing, I'm going to tell you one last story and then I'll be quiet. We have a mailman on our block. He's horrible. He delivers all the mail to the wrong places.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I get people's credit card bills. They're getting audited. I have to go over them like, stinks to be you. Yeah. So he finally, after 20 long years, said he was going to retire. I'm like, thank you, Jesus.
Right.
And so we decided to make him the Grand Marshal
of the
our parade.
Yeah.
So we got a convertible. We put 1,000 envelopes in the back of this car.
Oh, that's
we
so
just
funny.
Said, just go do what you do every day. Like, just throw all the envelopes everywhere.
Yeah, don't care where they go, because you never do anyway.
Yeah. 800 people showed up to let him know just how much he was loved.
Yeah.
I want to spend the rest of my days like just letting people know how much they're loved.
Yeah.
Not in a cheesy, fake way. way, but just like really throw them a parade. Let them know. Look for those opportunities to say, let me tell you what I see when I see you.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, as uncomfortable as it might feel, what I see in you. I see a woman that really wants to make a difference. You've told me like relationships matter so much to you, and you bring so much joy and laughter, this big, beautiful, gregarious spirit. And people like you will be misunderstood. People like me will be misunderstood from time to time. But I just want you to know, Annie, just keep doing your thing.
Thank you.
You know what Art did? He was so touched that all these people showed up to let him know how much they love. He called me a week later. He said, Bob, I'm coming out of retirement.
No.
I'm like, no!
You're like, please don't.
I like immense patience. I like body.
That's right. Bob, thanks for being a good friend to so many of us. I'm really grateful.
Oh, thank you for making the time. And for all the people listening, like just continue to listen to voices. Yours is one, Annie, that we trust. And so let people continue to hear your voice.
Yeah.
Be confident, be courageous, and then continue to have patience with yourself and the people around.
Oh, don't you just love him to pieces? He's just the very best. I hope you will go out and grab his new book, Everybody Always. I have read it and just think the world of him, the book, and it pushed me hard. And so I bet it will you too. So make sure you grab a copy of Everybody Always by Bob Goff. And make sure you tell him thanks for being on the show and how much you love him too. It just, for someone like that who pours out as much as he does, it really matters when people say hi and say something back. So make sure you give him a follow if you don't already and tell him thanks for being on the show. Hey, if you have any questions, if there's anything I can do for you, anything I can answer for you, I'm embarrassingly easy to find. It's Annie F. Downs across the internet. That's F as in friend, because Bob is our friend. So Annie F. Downs anywhere and everywhere that you need me, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. And if you get a chance and can rate and review the show, it would mean the world. So I would love for you to get a chance to do that. Go on iTunes or wherever you're listening, Spotify. Thanks so much to the people at Spotify who keep featuring our show. I really, really appreciate it. Or wherever you are listening. So make sure you rate and review the show. If this is your first time here, welcome. We're so glad you're here. I hope you'll stick around next week. Everybody is a really interesting show. I'm excited for you guys to hear. A few weeks ago, we had my good friend, comedian John Crist on the show, and we talked about a place called OnSite. And then we had a lot of feedback of people who wanted to understand OnSite more and know what it was about. And so I had my buddy, Miles Adcox, who is the CEO and founder of OnSite, come on the show. And that is next week's episode. So make sure you subscribe so you don't miss it. And make sure you go out and do something that sounds fun to you today. Okay. That is a big deal to me. So go out and have some fun. I hope you have a great day and we'll see you next week.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with the King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.